Hello and welcome to the WTF1 podcast with myself, Amber Jones, and the lovely Hayden Gullis.
Wow, lovely. I know. We are stepping things up. I'm getting a compliment already to kick things off. This is going to be a good podcast.
I know, I was just feeling a bit generous today. I don't know why.
I need it. It's been a long day.
You've been lovely, so fair enough. Hayden, there's so many car launches to get through.
Yeah, we've got them all wrapped up. We've had Ferrari, mm-hmm. Mercedes, McLaren and Red Bull since last podcast. And then at the end of this week, we get to see cars out on track. I'm very excited. Yes. F1 Bahrain testing. It's a coming.
Do you know what though? The Red Bull car launch got me really, really excited for the season. Like, I was already excited, and then we went to the Red Bull car launch, and after that I was like, oh, I want to see that car out on track. Like, I'm so excited for that. But we'll start off in chronological order.
Yes.
Let's. We'll make our way through.
Mm-hmm. Ferrari was the first one. On Tuesday, wasn't it? Yeah, so we talked about Aston Martin, and then Ferrari obviously dropped the day before Valentine's Day. I am in love with it. I think they've got the right shade of red. I mean, it's hard for Ferrari to get the wrong shade of red. It is a red car. They've added little accents of white and yellow, and I really like it. I'm here for it. I think they've done a stellar job on the livery. They have got a little bit of carbon on the car, but they've incorporated it very well, and there's not too much of it. I really like it. It's a good, strong livery.
So right.
Are you going to fight me on this again?
I am going to fight you on this one. Someone put like a comparison photo on Instagram, and then everyone voted on it, obviously. And the winning vote was the 2024 car. Mm-hmm. And I voted for the 2023 car. I think they are getting the shade of red incorrect. But we've seen this across the last few years. It's gotten darker in colour and darker in colour. And now I'm like, I want to go back to that like bright scarlet red, not that like burgundy type red. So in terms of the colour of the car.
I mean, at least what I've seen so far, I don't feel like it's that much of a dark
livery. It's the same with the Aston, where it just went slightly, just like, you know, if you squint, you can see the difference. And that's a difference that I'm not here for. But
okay, yeah, I guess in certain lights, it's
slightly
darker. A little bit darker.
But it's still one of the strongest cars on the lineup.
Yeah, I think it's a very, very good livery. I really like how they brought it, I think it was 2022 Italian Grand Prix, when they did a sort of like Italian livery. And they had the Ferrari text on the rear wing in white. And they've kept it. And it is absolutely stunning to have on the rear wing. I think it's beautiful. Mm.
Do you know what I loved, though? I think it was 2021, but correct me if I am wrong, was the gorgeous side pods. They were so wide. Do you remember when everyone was just... 2022, everyone was all over those side pods. And I still remember that as being like an iconic design on that car.
I'm trying to think which one I prefer out of that one and that one. I feel like part of me is gravitating towards 22, but I don't know whether that's because of when we saw it, all the other cars were like, yeah, they look nice, and we kind of like the style. But then Ferrari brought up that one, and it was like, holy this is sexy.
Exactly.
How do I make love to this Ferrari car? Because this looks incredible.
I think we were all thinking the same thing, Hayden.
So I'm not too sure which one I prefer out of the two. I think, is the 24 one nicer, or do I just have that image of how I reacted to the 22 car in my head that I was like, this is beautiful?
I think I'm all over the 2022 car.
It's a Ferrari.
Unfortunately.
It's an easy win, I think.
But, you know, it is one of the strongest on the grid so far. So, although I wasn't amazed by it, I'm amazed in the sense of it's like at the top for me.
Yeah.
One of.
Yeah. Then it was McLaren, which we're just going to gloss over because it's exactly the same as it was released when it was just kind of like dropped casually when they were said... You know, they took down their whole Instagram and it was like changes coming or whatever. And it was like, here's our livery.
They knew what they were doing. What? They just wanted to get the hype and everyone talking about them. Like, I think that was actually quite a good strategy. I'm still like, would I have done that? But it got everyone chatting about it. Then everyone was chatting again about the car launch. Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be different? And then it was the same. We're like, okay. Yeah. On to the next. But it got everyone talking.
I think, same as before, it's a really nice livery. It's a really nice looking car. And I'm excited to see how it performs out on track. I've said previously on the YouTube videos here on WTF1 and on this podcast that I am quietly hopeful that McLaren's going to perform well over the course of the season. So fingers crossed it's as fast as it looks good.
I hope so. But the car that obviously that they showed us for the car launch isn't actually fully designed yet.
Ooh, okay.
So that made me think, are they in like a backlog right now? Are they not going to be where they want to be by the time it gets testing and then the first Grand Prix? So like I was rooting for McLaren to do well this season, but then are they sandbagging? Are they teasing us?
They could be. I mean, a lot of times these teams come out with these renders And it's like, it's not actually the livery. Red Bull, which we'll get onto in a little bit, but briefly, we were at the car launch. Mm-hmm. We saw what the car actually looked like. And if you saw the live stream, you would have seen what the car actually looked like. But then if you look at the renders that Formula One had, that was not the actual look of the car, because you cannot see, you know, the elements of the new Red Bull that you're like, oh my God, this could be interesting either way. But let's track back a little bit. Mercedes.
Mercedes. Do you know what? I'm all for, like, you know, a black livery. Mm-hmm. Even though we're all saying, oh, get rid of the carbon fiber, like, yep, exposure. But then again, obviously when you do it with the paint, it looks a lot nicer. It's like a glossy, mm-hmm, livery then, isn't it? So I was all for that. But now with this 2024 car, it's a mixture. Yep. And I kind of like that. I thought I was going to be really opposed to it, but I think it's great. However, the car launch itself was a little bit strange. There wasn't that much excitement from the team. Again, are they sandbagging? Are they just not really going to put it out there, going to say that they're going to do amazing this season, or we're hoping to do better than we did last season? But the whole team, Toto, Lewis, just seemed not deflated, but you know what I'm saying? Is it because of the Ferrari news? Is it because Toto's going to be leaving? Like, what do you think went on there?
Well, you'll have to lead this one, because I was actually driving. We have got a very exciting piece of content coming on the WTF1 YouTube channel. So if you're not already subscribed over there, then make sure you go check that out. It's coming soon, a little piece with a Red Bull. Mm-hmm. So have to look out for that in the future. But yeah, so I was driving at this time, so I wasn't able to watch the Mercedes launch. But yeah, so what happened? Why did it give you that feel? Why didn't you just get that bad vibe from this launch?
Well, people just, I think the whole team, like Toto and Lewis actually in particular, just didn't seem too enthused. Like, the car launch was just very, there was no talks about the history of the team.
Which kind of makes a bit of sense. With Lewis, you know, doing a little bit of time at the start of this year with the team before going, do you know what, actually, no, I do want to go to Ferrari.
Yeah.
Now, instead of doing this season, or doing the 2025 season, and then moving to Ferrari. So, yeah, it kind of makes a bit of sense why there's that kind of, but is there also that animosity because of the news that's come out, and Lewis is there and just like, how dare you drop this on us? I'm unsure. I don't know.
It's just a little bit awkward, but I guess some of the car launches don't all need to be like fantastical. But then again, the Red Bull car launch was great.
Red Bull car launch was great.
It was so good.
What do you think quickly about the Mercedes livery? I mean, I do like it. I like the silver elements and the black. The car looks aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a fast car, it's obviously going to look better in everybody's eyes. I think, and I've been slamming all the liveries this year of being like, oh, it's carbon, it's black and this color, it's not exciting to me. All the cars are going to look the same, which I think I have a valid point. If I look at the Haas and the Mercedes in front of me right now, yes, up close and on stills, they're different liveries. But if you look at that car whizzing past you, you know, I feel like it's very similar. You've got a bit of red on the airbox. You've got black on the sidepod, a light colour on the front of the car. So I think they're going to look similar.
Yeah.
They're great liveries on their own, but is there too much similarities between everyone? I don't know. But yeah, Mercedes, I think I'm happy with it. It looks nice. It's a good livery. Is it one of my favourite of the season? I don't think so, but it's up there, yes.
Well, I think that's the problem. Because of all the carbon fibre that we're seeing on the cars don't look too different from one another, minus obviously the team's colours or the sponsor's colours. So I'm actually quite impressed with the Mercedes, but again, it's not super eye-catching, know what you're saying there. It doesn't really stand out, but I just think that's because of the trends that we're seeing right now. But it's definitely up there, one of my favourites, I think.
Onto the Red Bull then. So we'll come back to it. Right, the Red Bull. Let's get this over with as soon as possible. The livery, it looks exactly the same. But if it's not broken, don't fix it. I still think that I don't know what year it was. Was it maybe 2011? I think that's one of my favourite liveries of Red Bull. That Red Bull was beautiful. This one looks great, and it is a solid livery, and I really like how obviously the bull works with the front nose and the airbox, and you've got Red Bull written on the front wing. And I think, sadly, the shape of this car actually kind of downplays the red accents, because the way the car is shaped, they're kind of hidden on the side view, and you can see them from the aerial shot, but you can't really see them from the side view. But it is still a very dark livery, and I saw how it looks best when we were at the event, that when they dimmed down the lights, it really pops in darkness. It is a glow-in-the-dark colour scheme. But so if Singapore ever has a power cut, and the backup generators fail, and the backup generators fail, then that Red Bull
doesn't
is going to look gorgeous out on track.
No, do you know what? I was really impressed with the Red Bull. I know it's the same livery. I think it's the design.
If it's not broken, you know, don't fix it.
It's the design that's really wowed me, but I will say I'm definitely swayed by the experience of the car launch itself.
Yeah.
Just because I think it was great to have, obviously, you know, the team talking at the beginning, you're teeing it up, there's excitement, we're clapping, there was like loads.
That's the highlight.
I'm just teeing it up, you know. Everyone's excited, don't know what we're clapping about, yeah, but we're clapping. And then they had loads of past Red Bull cars, mm-hmm. didn't they?
Yep.
Like, all stacked up on each other. Like, for me, it was just like it brought that vibe mm-hmm. that I was like, right, I'm excited to see this car now, even if it is the same.
Especially celebrating 20 years as well with the team.
Exactly.
So, there was a lot to kind of call back on that. But the car, I think there's a lot to talk about with the car. And when I said about like the renders, you didn't properly appreciate if you didn't watch the live stream or see the actual pictures from the event.
Yeah.
But It is very Mercedes. Yes, it's like no side pods, but with side pods.
Yeah.
The inlet for the side pods isn't where it usually is. It's a very much a vertical inlet that's very tucked in close and next to the car. I'm trying to describe it as much as possible for you audio listeners compared to the video watchers. But the intakes are kind of, yeah, vertical, very close to the driver's side of the car. The AirPods are, or the side pods are there, but there's no intake from them. They're just, I guess, to help the airflow around the car. They have that deep kind of undercut mm-hmm. under the side pod. And then they've got these really bulbous kind of shoulders that extend from the halo, which is exactly the same as what the Mercedes had last season. So it's very interesting that even a team like Red Bull, who were dominating so much last season, are looking like at a team like Mercedes, who are top end, midfield, lower end, you know, F1.5. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what I said, though, to Luke, who we went to the car launch with. As soon as I saw the zero pod style mm-hmm. and then the engine cover, I was like, right, Mercedes, wow. And then I said to Luke, I was like, but why would they have taken something from Mercedes?
Pure shithousery. And I'm here for it. Adrian Newey is looking at Mercedes and being like, you struggle with no AirPods, no side pods. Let me show you how it's done. Let me show you my expertise.
He knows.
I don't need all these CFD and all mm-hmm. this, all these computers that you have in Mercedes. Give me a pencil, give me a sketchboard, and I'll design the out of that mm-hmm. car and smash it.
Give me your design, and I'll just make it better. That's the thing, though, with Adrian Newey. I got that he was very cool, calm, collected.
Mm.
People would ask him about the design of the car, and they were quite shy of actually saying.
Yeah.
They were keeping it very like private. I thought, that's how you know you're good. You know what I mean? You don't need to go, oh, we've done this and we've changed that. The car speaks for itself. We can see the changes to it. They don't need to really go into too much depth. We'll see it when it goes on track.
I'm very excited how, because there's a lot of unknown as well with changing a philosophy of a car.
Yeah.
And maybe that's something similar to what McLaren's doing behind the scenes if their car isn't fully yet finished.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they going, okay, last year was good, but, you know, we've actually worked out that going in this direction mm-hmm. is going to help us in the long term. And that's maybe what Red Bull are doing. But at least with Red Bull, if it fails, they have a very, very solid platform to go, okay, we'll just revert back to this.
Yeah.
And we'll just develop on this and we'll get ahead of everybody else because they were still ahead of everyone. Yes, qualifying was close,
mm-hmm.
but race trim, the car was unreal. And it was so good and was just able to outperform the rest of the grid. So I think it's interesting to see how it goes. It could go either way because Mercedes has struggled so much. But, I mean, the way the Red Bull have been over the last couple of seasons, you kind of have to back them to maybe actually make it work.
Well, I think we saw that with Mercedes in 2022. If something's not working, they still have the time to change the mm-hmm. design of the car to a certain extent. So that's what I was thinking. I was like, right, if this doesn't work for Red Bull, are they going to be fuming? But like you said, they're not going to be. They will just start to tweak it again then and change something. I think that's what Red Bull do very well. They're very quick on, and they said that at the car mm-hmm. launch. If something's wrong and the driver's saying, you know, this part of the car's not really working, can we work on that? We need more downforce or whatever. Adrian Newey was like, yeah, I'll get straight onto that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll just see what they say and then do a few tweaks and then see if they like it. So
they've got a good... The quote looking for from that evening was between him and Coulthard. And it was just like, Coulthard was giving all these, oh, it's here, it's this problem's here. And he was like, let's just calm down. What do you need
to
make it go faster? And he's like, I need understeer. He's like, cool.
Great.
Make it more understeer. We'll make
it
go faster.
And then fix it.
And that's brilliant. I mean, that's what, you know, to have that in a team, just to be like, just simple. What do you need to mm-hmm. go faster? I need this. Which, again, you know, kind of tailors, you know, that difference. We might see at the start of the season, to be fair, with this new version of the car, that Perez and Verstappen could actually be quite close together. We saw that at the start of 2022
mm-hmm.
when it was a new car and both were getting used to it. But Verstappen clearly is the better driver and he is an incredible talent.
Yeah.
So when he says, I need this to go faster, you're going to listen to Verstappen.
Exactly.
So it might start off them quite close at the start of the season with this car, but obviously over the time, it will definitely be in Verstappen's favour, for sure.
I do think, like a lot of people have been asking me, do you think it's going to be Max Verstappen domination again? I kind of think so. I'm not swayed enough. Obviously, we don't know. We'll see testing, but you can't really take too much from testing. Then we'll have a look at the first Grand Prix. But in my head, I'm like, yeah. But I've got a revelation. It's a race to the finish line you won't want to miss. Netflix's newest docuseries, NASCAR Full Speed, follows drivers as they battle for one of the biggest titles in all of motorsports during the 2023 NASCAR playoffs. Get an in-depth look at who these drivers are off the track and how they and their teams navigate the physical, mental, and emotional challenges of competing for a championship at the world's highest level of stock car racing. After all, the race to finish is just the beginning. Watch NASCAR Full Speed on Netflix to catch up on the characters, competition, and chaos that define the 2023 championship before NASCAR heads to Atlanta this Sunday, February the 25th at 3 p.m. ET on Fox.
Okay. Strap in, everybody.
Right. Are you ready?
Right, so, I'm ready for what you're about to...
You know, when I first came into the sport... even now,
according to the comments,
I know apparently last year, when I first came in, you know, 2018, for all you out there, I obviously bounced around of who I liked and what teams I liked and all of this. And like Max Verstappen was up there. But now, obviously, like over the past few years and all the controversies we've seen, I was like, get rid of Red Bull. I wasn't a massive Hamilton fan when I came in. But then I started to warm towards Hamilton. So obviously, naturally, I fell onto the Hamilton side of the Hamilton-Verstappen battle. But now... And I'm still a Hamilton fan. That ain't changing, especially when it goes
Hamilton
to Ferrari.
Fan and a Verstappen fan. I don't know if people can comprehend that.
The thing is, I said a while ago, I was like, I'm a Ferrari and Mercedes fan. People were like, no, you can't be. And now I'm saying, I'm a Hamilton and Verstappen fan.
You are a glory
I'm
hunter.
I'm not a glory hunter.
I'm a Ferrari
I
fan,
swear.
I'm a Mercedes fan. And now I'm a Red Bull fan.
Actually.
So you're just ticking off the trifecta.
I'm still
What if McLaren start doing well?
No.
You're going to become a McLaren fan?
I'm still a Haas fan. Okay. That is my case. I'm not a glory hunter, just to let you know.
No, you just said
no, now
you're
I'm
a Max Verstappen and a Red Bull fan. Which makes no sense.
No.
Surely you should have picked them up the last... Are you just late to trends?
No, I'm more of like a driver fan as opposed to like a team fan. So now I'm like, that car launch experience was so good. It's made my love for Max Verstappen as a driver come back.
So what you're
it's
saying
reignited
right now
that.
Is, to any teams listening, if you want Amber Jones as your number one fan, invite her to the launch event, give her a free hat.
Yeah.
And she is the number one fan for your
100%.
Team.
100%. I'll do all your promo. I'll do whatever you want. I'll be swayed. That's my car launch entries for next year then.
Yeah. Livery's all wrapped up though.
Okay.
Where are we ranking each livery? So let's go from bottom to top. Number 10 for all of the teams. Now it's quite... I really like the designs of all the cars. And I think there's a lot of strong liveries out there. Even with the overexposed carbon. I think, though, and I think my tier might actually change and shock people of what I've said on the podcast, because I think sometimes it's taking a little bit of time to sort of take a second look and a third look and a fourth look and look at them all together and be like, actually, the V-carb, I like it, but I do think the white ruins it for me. So it has come further down the list. Not quite 10th, though. I'm going to go, and I think that it's a surprise to me. I don't want to put it there, but I think 10th, I'm going to go Williams.
You're going to put it...
I'm going to go Williams for 10th.
Oh, okay. No, that's fair enough. I thought you're going to put the V-carb. You're still going to put the V-carb
where's
quite
your
low.
Tenth? Who's your 10th?
So 10th for me...
Stop sitting on the fence.
Has
come on.
To be... No, no. Do you know what?
Pick a car.
There, it's the...
Just
Alpine.
Point one. Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Alpine is then next for me.
See?
It's 9th.
The next one for me is Williams, so that makes sense.
They're both... Williams, whilst it is fully painted, it's just...
It's
very
too
simple,
dark.
Which sometimes simplicity really like works. And yes, I like the Duracell logo and that they've smashed that. But I just think that it's just too simple for me.
I think everyone's going to favour a more brightly covered livery at the minute.
If you're going to paint it with colour.
Exactly. Don't use a dark, dark blue that basically looks black from afar.
That will be carbon. I'm telling you now, the darker blue will be carbon by the start of the season. And an Alpine is like, it's a good livery, but it's just compared to what the Alpine's been before,
yeah,
it's a massive come down.
I agree. I think my next one, see, it's tricky, really, because I'm bunching them all together. There's like one standout and then the rest are in the middle. But I think my next one is going to be, oh, I don't want to do it.
I'm going to go in. Pass. Because, okay, you've gone in with Haas. Okay, yeah. That's fair. I'm going to go, I'm looking at the front of Stake and I'm really, really liking it. But I know that from the side, it's
plain
yeah. compared to the front. The front end looks really, really good. And if you're looking behind, if, even though that's impossible to do in an F1 car, but if somehow you manage to turn your head around, pop out the halo and take a look, you'd be like, yeah, okay, I can see that that is a Stake car. But from the side, obviously, you still have the neon green, but
that's why it stands out a little bit more for me over the Haas.
Yeah.
I do kind of like the placement, obviously the red and the white in comparison to the black, but the Stake is just like, I can see it.
The Stake then next for you after Haas, because then Haas is next for me after that. No. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'll go Haas
next.
This
is difficult, isn't it? I'm stuck between Mercedes and Stake, but I don't want to put Mercedes there, but no. I've changed my mind again.
Your bias aside.
No, I've changed my mind again. So it's Haas and then Stake.
Okay, Haas then Stake.
It's Haas then Stake, but for you it's Stake then Haas.
Yes. So we've flipped again.
We have.
So for our 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th. Okay, so we're on to number 6. I think I've got to go V-carb.
Hayden.
I really like the metallic blue, but I think I'm looking at it from this side angle, and that white to me is just disgusting.
No. We change both rated that car like a 9.
Change. I know I did.
But and now you're putting it smack bang right in the middle.
Thoughts, the red would have been so much better. And is that nostalgia to the sugar-free cola livery that we used to see? Maybe. And if you don't like that, come for me. But I just think that it needs red later. There, and I don't like the white, and unfortunately, it's sick for me. But there's a lot of strong liveries in there. As I've said, I don't think sixth is like, yeah, it's a terrible livery.
No, because I think sixth. That's like top three for me. So the fact that you're putting it sixth.
Well, we'll just agree to disagree, won't we?
We will. Right, I'm going to go with the...
Come on.
I feel awful.
Why? Just pick a livery.
It's like the car's going to cry because I've said
the graphic designers are watching right now and they've just unfollowed you.
Wow. I'm so sorry, graphic designers, but it's going to have to be... The
you can't keep teeing it up slowly like this. Just
I'm
pick
still
a
thinking.
Stop.
No, right. It's between Mercedes decision. And McLaren, but okay. I'm gonna go for the McLaren.
Okay.
Purely because I just think the Mercedes is a little bit like sexier, if you know what I mean. It's quite sleek. It's got the silver. It's got the black. And I just think if the McLaren had a little bit more to it. I don't actually like the orange and the black. So the orange and the carbon fiber exposure. I'm not a huge fan of that because we all know one of my favorite liveries was the McLaren Gulf with the blue and the orange. I think that really stands out. So unfortunately for me, it has to be the McLaren.
Okay. So now top five. And for me, top five, as my laptop's just turned off, top five is honestly so close. It's like they're all top tier liveries for me.
Really?
I like every single one of them, and I think they are all very, very strong. I'm going to go, though, for McLaren for me in fifth. Mm-hmm. I really do like it, but I do think there's a little bit too much exposed carbon and the black paint there. I would like to see a little bit more colour, which is then contradictory because I've got Mercedes higher than it. But
and you've got the V-carb down the list.
Yes, that is true.
Very but contradictory here, Hayden.
I think that... Yeah, I do really like it. It's very difficult in this section, but I think I'm just gonna stick to my guns, McLaren there, and we're just gonna have to roll with it. Okay.
Impulse
decisions, not thinking about it for about 20 million seconds.
You have to make like an accurate
impulse. What is your gut feeling? Which one's fifth?
Oh, I know it already though.
Okay.
Mercedes.
Okay, cool.
Because it was between McLaren and Mercedes,
that's fine,
so
okay,
Mercedes is fifth. Mercedes although I was fifth. Thinking about between Aston Martin, but no, we'll have it. Mercedes fifth. What's your fourth?
I'm gonna go Red Bull. I really like the Red Bull livery, and I've always liked the Red Bull livery. But as I said earlier, I think it had a better livery in, I think it was 2011, 2012. Just before the Infinity Red Bull days. Yeah. Where they had Red Bull written on the side.
Your opinions here, Haydong, a rogue.
I'm not saying it's a bad livery. It's just sadly not as good by like a 0.1. Even though we don't do 0.1s. But it's just,
you can't have a 0.1 if you won't let me have a 0.5.
I'm at least making decisions about where they go.
Excuse me. Right. I know the rest, I think.
Okay, come on.
So, four for me is the Aston Martin.
Yep.
And then third for me is the Red Bull.
Okay.
And then I'm just going to give you all of them now because yep. I think I know. Second for me is the Ferrari.
Okay.
Which means number one, which I can't believe you put it sixth, is the V-Carb.
You're going for V-Carb number one.
I'd drive
Damn.
That car.
Okay, my top three, I'm going Merc third.
Yep.
And then this is where it gets difficult because the Aston and the Ferrari, I love them both. But if I were to make a decision, and I'm
you
doing an
would,
Amber
and
right
you're
now,
stalling.
I would go with the... It's whether I'm going.
You see,
for,
it's difficult, isn't it?
No, I'm just explain. Let me explain
Go on
myself,
then.
Amber.
I'll hear
right.
you out.
So I think I'm going for Ferrari, but am I going for Ferrari because it's new? But do I actually like the Aston better?
I personally think
I mean?
The Ferrari
I mean?
Stands out above the Aston, but I don't see what you're saying.
Well, I just want to disagree with you then. I'm going to go Aston number one and Ferrari number two. I'm going to go with that. I picked it. I don't, wow. don't make me change my mind.
That's because you're
back.
A Lance Stroll lover, that's
maybe,
why.
Maybe, maybe Aston Martin through and through. Okay. Well, let us know if you agree with that tier list and ranking of our liveries. I'm sure there's a lot of people hating on me on the V car, but I reckon there's hopefully one person out there that agrees with me that it needs
people.
The red and not the white.
I'm one of those people.
But yeah, so there we go. That's our testing liveries. And our opinion's going to change. I'm sure as soon as we see them out on track, and we get to see them out on track this week.
Acer,
yes!
I can't
testing!
Wait for
I
testing.
I love testing. I'm such a nerd, and I love listening to like Ted's Notebook every yep. single day about little bits that teams put on the cars. Even like in between days, there's like, oh, this new part's now being shipped out. I went to Bahrain testing in 2022, and we were on the same aisle as a guy who worked for Mercedes in the pit garage, and he had in his carry-on just a part. It wasn't like a suitcase or anything. He had a part that he came straight from Brackley to Heathrow mm-hmm. on the plane. He's just got a part wrapped up and he's taken that then straight to the garage, and then that would have been put on the car for testing. I love it. I'm so excited.
I love testing. I feel like some people don't really like it, but I just think it kind of tees up the season quite nicely, mm-hmm. doesn't it? But you can't take it too seriously.
No,
that's the
no.
only thing.
You have to be, I feel like to enjoy testing, you have to just be
excited.
Really nerdy
yeah.
about the details, and I really love Formula One, and that why I'm such a big Formula One fan, and maybe I've not got into other motorsports as much because it is not necessarily a spec series. There's not really a lot of stuff that is mm-hmm. allowed, or the teams have to have the same between each other. So teams will come out of the blocks and will be like, okay, we've got, you know, 2022, for example, where all the teams had different versions. They get the same piece of paper, mm-hmm. but they make different cars out of it. And that's why I love testing, because you just see so many different things like this 2024 Red Bull and see how it works.
Do you know what, though, Hayden? I love anything pre-season because it's that build-up of like, mm-hmm. right, we've had the winter break, we're coming to car launches and seeing obviously cars on tracks and then testing, and then we jump into the first Grand Prix. So for me, I'm like, okay, what's next? What's next? Mm-hmm. What's next? But I do kind of take testing, like I don't take it seriously, but I do kind of look, because obviously the last few years, Red Bull have been at the top, and then they have been at the top, obviously yeah. in the actual season. So you can take it seriously to a certain extent, but not really, I think, in terms of like the rest of the competitive
yeah.
order.
Like lap times maybe are not the thing that you're looking at. No. Yeah, okay, look at them slightly. Look at the tyres that everybody's on at the same time, but don't deep into it too much
yeah.
because if all of a sudden you see, you know, you've got, let's pick a round team, Haas, for example, on the first day in 2022 were like fastest with Kevin Magnussen. Everyone's like, oh my God,
yeah.
Haas have cooked. Yes, they were a good car that Kevin Magnussen put it in. I think it was P5 in the race, but they obviously weren't pole position contenders like they had lap times up there. So just because you see someone go purple in the day doesn't necessarily yeah. mean they're going to be the fastest car, but it could mean that they've taken a big step up and they mm-hmm. could be putting themselves very much in the midfield fight.
Yeah, you can see like some improvement at least, because there's too many variables at play for you actually to take it
yeah.
seriously. So that's the thing. I'm not like, oh my gosh, Haas or Aston Martin yeah. done so well in testing. It's the same with practice. Mm-hmm. So I had a few friends that came into the sport, I'd say last year, and then they were watching practice and they were like, how seriously do you take practice? Again, to a certain extent mm-hmm. you can, but we see it so many times. It'll be like Ferrari leading it, you know,
yeah.
and it's teeing it up for the Grand Prix that weekend. Ferrari going to be on top, and then they're not. So I'm like, don't take practice because the teams aren't going to push to their full potential. And like, we see that again in testing. They're not going to show off. Mm-hmm. Red Bull and let's say Mercedes and Ferrari stay like the top three at the minute. I mean, we'll see. They're not going to show everything they've got. They're going to wait until the season open and be like, right, here you go. I'm going to put it all on show for you now.
I mean, feel free to get excited and feel free to look at Yuki Tsunoda setting the fastest time of the day and being like, oh my God, Yuki's going to be world champion.
Yeah.
I mean, just be maybe slightly prepared and a high chance of this to be disappointed with that news. Yeah. But you never know what could happen. That's the great thing about testing is like part of you, no matter how many times you watch through it, you will still see little bits and be like, hang on a minute. Wait a minute. Who has cooked over winter? Like, this is exciting. And I just love it. I love watching even just the small little details. Like, I've been, you know, watching the sport from so long since I was a little kid. And I love just watching one corner. So when I went out to Bahrain, and by the way, I don't know if you went. No, I went to Bahrain the amount of times I blimmin' mentioned
it. Wow. Maybe never would have guessed
I'm
that.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Did.
I don't mean to flex. I just mean to say that basically we were sat at one corner and we were watching all the cars sort of come through and watching that same corner and seeing who was able to carry the most speed through there. And the Ferrari and the Red Bull, they looked great in 22. But the Mercedes, we were like, okay, that's looking a little bit, it doesn't look good through that corner. But yeah, no, Mercedes came out of it and they were just really struggling. I remember Lewis Hamilton was like in Imola, lapped by Max Verstappen, big talking point. And everyone was like, Red Bull fans, like, way, unlucky, how are you fallen? But yeah, so you can kind of just have little look into one specific corner and sort of see how all the different cars kind of handle. So it's very exciting to sort of make your assumptions and your predictions of what the season's going to be, but always take it with a slight pinch of salt that what you hear and what you see is not always going to be how that first qualifying session is going to go.
It's not gospel.
Not know. No, we will not know how these cars perform until Q1 in Bahrain.
I mean, I'm still going to be watching the McLarens, though. Just because, like I say, they said they weren't prepared for the car launch yet. So there's still designs they're obviously working on right now. Then they might not show it off. They might have a little bit of sandbagging at play. But I'm interested to see, like, where about they might be in the field. Because it's just, if they're going to say they're not ready yet, is that going to reflect in testing? Are they going to be right at the back and they're at the end of the field then?
Yeah, I mean, McLaren, the last couple of seasons, haven't they? They've been very much at the back at the start of the season. They've come out and they've gone straight to the back and they've built up throughout the season. Are they going to do that for a third year in a row? I really hope they don't, because they built such a good base at the end of last season and I think they were very, very strong.
Yeah.
That I would like to see them, and I've said in my predictions that I'd like to see them carry that on and hopefully challenge for something. You know, my dream is obviously for them to be challenging for the race wins and for the titles. I think as a Formula One fan, I want to see that. I want to see that excitement of a championship battle. Realistically, just, you know, consistent race wins. Mm-hmm. You know, just be in the fight to be up there. If Max Verstappen's running away with the championship, as long as you're fighting for race wins, then I'm very, very excited for McLaren there.
Me too. And Aston Martin and Williams.
Throw them all in.
No, only them three.
Throw them all in.
Because Aston Martin have said they've made a car that should be more competitive on a range of different tracks.
Yeah.
So I want to see if that's the case. You know, does it work at Bahrain then? And the same with Williams. They said they've tried to make it a little bit more consistent. So it's McLaren, Williams and Aston Martin are the ones I will be watching. But like we say, I'll take it with a bit of a pinch of salt.
Yeah, the worry is with the consistency, is that potentially taking away performance from the tracks that they were strong at?
Yeah.
So that's obviously the worry for those teams that, yes, okay, you know, the Williams was notorious for being really quick at circuits that's all about straight line speed and very difficult to overtake at those ones. But as soon as it became, you know, the ones where it's more downforce dependent, that's where they're going to struggle at. And, you know, they haven't got their qualifying performance to put themselves in the front and struggle to be overtaken. So if they take away that straight line speed and, you know, balance it out with a bit more aero, do they just become this lower midfield team now, but they're at least consistent across all circuits?
Did they lose it on the tracks they were strongest
potentially
at?
That's the worry, and that's the worry I have about Aston Martin, that they're changing directions with the philosophy, but they're building something that they can carry on and think can go further in the future. But does that mean they're going to take a hit early days? Possibly.
Well, I guess that's a problem with any team that changes any design.
Red Bull.
Exactly. But Hayden, the time has come.
Okay.
To talk about.
To talk about. What are we talking about? Oh my God.
This week.
Is it Drive to Survive?
Drive to Survive. Yeah. What are your thoughts on the upcoming Drive to Survive season?
I'm excited. I always am. I've always enjoyed it since it came to Netflix. I've always thought it's a brilliant thing, but I am a very laid back person. I don't watch it as a season review. Mm-hmm. I don't care if things are in particular order. I do look at things sometimes and be like, maybe that's a bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
Esteban Ocon fighting Yuki Tsunoda mm-hmm. at the French Grand Prix. I think it was in the 2022 season or maybe 2021. But that was a big stretch.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone was hyping up a battle between those two across the season. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why Netflix did. But regardless, I just kind of sit there with a relaxed take on it. And it's one of those things where it's kind of like a routine now. Formula One season's coming.
Yeah.
You watch the car launches. You then watch Drive to Survive. And then you watch testing. Or at least this season now, it's going to be testing starts and then Drive Survive's out on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So you can either watch it during testing or during the lunch break mm-hmm. or after testing. But it's a routine for me that gets me hyped up for the season.
Well, that's what I was really going to say. That's why they put it there, don't they? To just get everyone hyped. You're still in this bubble of like, oh my gosh, Formula One's about to start. Mm-hmm. Let's watch Drive to Survive. I loved the first few seasons. Like, that's obviously when I was coming into the sport anyway. So it hadn't really taken off the way it has now. But I just thought they were more authentic. You know, it was like a fly on the wall experience as opposed to now there's like a narrated story, isn't mm-hmm. there? And potentially there's a bit of play of, you know, right, we're going to put this here for entertainment. So now I'm like, you know, I'm skeptical. I'm really excited for it, but I'm like, am I going to love it? But weirdly enough, I think that I will this season. I think there's just something different that I'm going to be like, yeah, last season didn't massively impress me, but it still impressed me mm-hmm. to the extent I want to watch it. I'm never going to not watch it.
I think it definitely helps when you have maybe, I don't know, actually, then maybe not. I was about to say it helps when you have something to fight for, because obviously last season we didn't really have a championship battle at all. You know, it was one man dominating everything and doing mm-hmm. an incredible job. But then I'm thinking about, to be fair, 2020 and 2019, you know, Bottas never really challenged Hamilton in both those seasons. It came in 2019. I believe, wasn't it? 2019 was the first season of Drive to Survive?
No, it was way before that.
Was it?
It was like 2017 or around then. Because there was already a few seasons
Ferrari and
when
Mercedes
I watched
didn't take
it.
Part, so we never got to watch the behind the scenes of like, you know, the start of the championship battle between Seb and Lewis. So we never really actually got to see that. But yeah, I don't know what it is that made that sort of season. Maybe it is the case that it was more fly on the wall stuff and
more
less
authentic.
Kind of like pushing these rivalries that aren't really there.
Yeah, now it just feels more like drama fueled as opposed mm-hmm. to, like you say, the fly on the wall. Like, I remember the one that really wowed me was, I think this is what made me start to be a Grosjean fan, because it was my first favorite drivers were Leclerc and Grosjean mm-hmm. because they had two great episodes in there because they showed all the drama at Haas. Yeah. So that immediately got me like excited for that. And then obviously Charles Leclerc was transitioning from Sauber into Ferrari. And instantly you're thinking, who is this guy? You know, he's the new guy on the block. Is he going to be world championship, the next world champion? So I was like, right, okay, it's exciting. They're not trying to push anything on me. They're not orchestrating any races or any battles in the races. Whereas now it feels like that. But then at the same time, they've got the drama correct, I think.
Yeah.
And it brought in so many fans. And I'm going to say, there is no problem with the Drive to Survive fan era. There's nothing. We want more fans in the sport. What, like, people... I think older generation fans don't particularly like Drive to Survive fans. But for me, it's like, why?
I think there's that sort of element of sometimes where, oh, haha, I know more than you. Unlucky, like, you know nothing. Which is fair. Everyone starts off from nothing. When I was a kid getting into... I just walked into the room where my parents were watching and be like, is Schumacher winning now? Yeah? Oh, yay, love him. Like, that was me as a kid.
And then he's off.
Yeah, sometimes it was, you know, very rarely. But that was my input. And then, you know, I... tuned in. I remember there was a big craze for it. I guess kind of similar to when Verstappen started, you know, getting into Formula One.
Mm-hmm.
But when Lewis went into McLaren and was fighting for the championship straight away, I think there was a big resurgence here in Britain again to watch Formula One. I remember watching that last race in 2007 in Brazil and taking a bit more of an interest. But still, I didn't have the attention span as a kid still to watch it.
Yeah.
It was only really once I'd actually bought the game in 2009. I played the games before, but it was once I really... properly played the game that I really got into and wanted to learn more about the sport. And over the last 10 years, I still don't know everything.
Yeah.
I still make mistakes and I still have opinions and then I come back to it and I go, actually, no, do you know what? Looking back at that 2 years ago, a year ago,
yeah,
even a month ago, I'm like, do you know what? I don't agree with that. The V-carb livery, I said that was a 9 out of 10 and then a couple of weeks later, I'm looking at it more and I'm like, do you know what? Actually, no, I don't agree with what I've said there. We're allowed to change and we're allowed to grow as people and educate ourselves and learn more. And even if you don't, and even if you're a casual fan, as a kid, I grew up interested in Formula One, mm-hmm. but never really took it any further. And I think massively because there wasn't anybody else that I knew that liked Formula One. I got into football when I was a kid in school mm-hmm. because all my friends were playing football. So I was very easy to just go and join a football club and play football with them.
Because you were surrounded by it then.
Exactly.
But that's the thing with like football though. If a new fan comes into like obviously the football world, they don't really get the attack that newer F1 fans get. And it is like there's some sort of, I don't know, territorial thing going on. It's like you say, you've not been watching the sport for X amount of years, so you can't really be a real fan. But yeah, you can. You can be a real fan at any stage. And there's different viewpoints of being a fan. Mm-hmm. Some people like it just for the drivers. Some people like only the racing. Some people like the technical aspect of it. Some people like more of the political view. And there's so many different avenues as to why you can be an F1 fan. So I think I do feel bad for the Drive to Survive era, which is also myself. Even though for me, I don't think of myself being Drive to Survive
been here
era.
For a while.
And it's been so many years now.
You know, if you enjoyed Drive to Survive, so what?
Exactly.
And if you come into sport that way, even if you know, if you're just someone who's like, yeah, cool, I fancy the drivers or I like the drivers attractive. They're sports stars, they're athletes, you know. You're allowed to find people attractive. That's never a problem.
Exactly.
I see
that a lot
on social media.
You know, like Justin Bieber as a pop star, a lot of his fans are his fans because they fancy him. Yeah. We've got fans, so
Harry
Styles. Nothing wrong.
I'm a big Harry Styles fan.
You love
He's a
Harry
sexy
Styles.
Man, you know. I'm not gonna deny that. He's a very good looking bloke.
No, I don't know. But yeah, I know, I see what you're saying.
But there's a lot of people who are a fan base of him because they find him attractive. That's fine. That's not a problem. I don't think that should be something that we slam people about and be like, oh, you're only into F1 because you fancy this person. They might have got in that way. They
initially.
They might still be like, yeah, do you know what? I find that person attractive. So what?
Yeah.
But they've now educated themselves on the sport and they watch and they're interested in the cars. And it's someone that you can talk to and you can open yourself up and be like, okay, you can talk to this person. Like my girlfriend is a fan of Formula One and we both met from our interest of Formula One. If I was a very closed off person who said, oh, you haven't been watching Formula One as long as me,
can't talk to you about it,
we would have never got together.
Exactly.
So, you know, not saying you're going to go out there and you're going to find a girlfriend from opening yourself up
Hayden's
and talking to people.
Just told you
from
how
Drive
to get
Survive,
a girlfriend.
But, you know, you can find friends and you can find groups of people that, you know, I never got to have as a kid or when I was younger, a teenager, because I didn't have friends who were interested in Formula One.
I feel exactly the same because I used to go karting all the time. It's just a little hobby. And it was always, you know, a very select few of us that wanted to. But even though the people I went karting with, they didn't actually like F1. I was the only person that liked F1 when I got into it. So I didn't have anyone to chat to, just my dad, me and my dad, and that was it. And then Twitter. And then when I went to uni, because of Drive to Survive, there were so many more people. It's like exactly what you felt. I was like, wow. Now, like all my housemates, like, what does this mean? Oh my gosh, they came in like, I think 2021. So it was nice to have people to speak like about the sport with. So no slander for the Drive to Survive era, please.
And if you don't like Drive to Survive, it's completely
fine.
It's not supposed to be for everybody.
Exactly.
I go into it with a very relaxed mindset that I'm not here for a season review. I'm not here to see every single part of the season played out in chronological order.
Yeah.
I can go and get a DVD, I sound very old there, a Blu-ray.
Are you showing
your
age here, Hayden?
Is it out? Or maybe you can download it online where you get the actual season review from 2024 or 2023. Well, I'm looking into the future. But yeah, if you want that, go watch that. That's completely fine.
Exactly.
If you want something that's just a bit more, if you like a bit more dramatized, a bit more excitement in that sort of reality TV sense, then Drive Survive's your cup of tea.
But overall, we are actually really excited for Drive to Survive, aren't we?
Because I'm a reality nut, okay?
So
I'm very much into it.
Looking forward to it, 23rd of Feb. But, Hayden, the time has come.
Is it spicy time?
For hot takes.
Oh, yeah.
My favourite part of the podcast. So, let's get into them.
Let's see how spicy they're going to be today. Have we got some spicy ones over on Twitter?
Yes,
remember,
we do.
If you would like to get involved with the hot takes of the week, then make sure you send us all of your hot takes in the comment section and also over on the WTF on Twitter.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
For the first one from Formula Nerds, thanks for sending this in, is Haas will surprise everyone including themselves in the Bahrain test and not be last.
I really, really like the including themselves because it just reminds me of their team principal being like, we're going to be 10th this season.
Yeah.
I would like to see it. Mm-hmm. I would love to see it. I would hate to see Haas just back where they were in 2021, where they really struggled and were just miles away. I remember going to, I think it was the 2021 British Grand Prix. Yes, it was. And the Haas was just so far behind. Like, you see all the cars go, they're all semi-close together, and then you wait for ages, like 30 seconds.
You're like, oh, and there's the Haas. Okay, the Haas.
Which I'd hate to see happen once again. Yeah. So I'd like to see them in the mix. I don't think I'm going to see them. I don't think they surprise me. And I don't think they're going to get into that sort of upper midfield. But yeah. I think they can definitely... I don't think they're going to be like, we are terrible, we're at the back.
Yeah.
You know, at least I hope not.
Well, I think I'm going to just disregard testing because I feel like testing, they might struggle a little bit because they're getting to grips with like a new design of the car, so mm-hmm. fair enough. But I think throughout the season, we may see them, yeah, slowly work their way up, but still be obviously the bottom end of the field. But I think they will surprise us because they've had like a few successful-ish years. Mm-hmm. Like they've done better in some races, haven't they? So if they can keep the philosophy of whatever they were doing there, incorporate that into this, I don't know. I think, you know, Ayoko Matsuo is teasing us a little bit.
They just need to sort out their tyre wear. Yeah. There's always been an issue for them. Ever since I think they came into the sport, you know, they've been really good at qualifying, especially the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Good qualifying. Hülkenberg's been insane in qualifying. And then they just fall back through the pack and you forget about them in the races. It's like, oh, Haas are back where they belong. Yeah. Hey, you're lucky, you know, sort of thing. And it's just like, okay, you know, so I'm hoping... And especially with the cost cap era and with the CFD and wind tunnel time that restricts and sort of allows the teams that finish lower down the field to benefit from that, kind of like a, you know, a draft system from any other sport, that they can work their way back up and the field be a lot closer and more competitive. That at least, okay, if they are at the back, there's still more chances for them to be the sixth best team at one race, but potentially the 10th best team at another. And they can flip around a bit and be maybe a bit inconsistent, but still at least... you know, fight for points on occasions.
Just get higher up that grid. I do think we are going to see closer racing because a lot of the teams are obviously taking similar design aspects and trying to be more consistent.
Do you think we're going to see, or are you optimistic? Because they're two very different things. I join you on the optimism. I really do hope that we see closer racing.
No, I'm going to, you know what? For one time in my life, I'm going to not sit on the fence and I'm going to say, yes, it will happen.
Wow.
We will see closer racing.
That is an exclusive right there.
I know. Literally, if I'm wrong, we need some sort of forfeit, but I'm really going to put, you know, my life on this one. We're going to see closer racing this year.
Okay. Well,
is that
I'm
a hot take in
it.
Itself? I don't know. Right. Okay, what are you rating this hot take then, Hayden?
Will Haas surprise us and themselves? I think I'm going to go... I don't think it's that spicy. I think it's a 2. I don't think it's a spicy hot take. And I also...
Okay.
I don't agree with it, but I don't disagree with it. Like, I don't disagree with it so much that the 10th, they're going to suck, they're going to be terrible. But I don't agree with it that they're going to surprise us and be, you know, one of the top midfield teams.
Yeah, I see. I think that's quite valid. I am only going to go at a 3 because, again, you know, I always rate it off.
Because you can handle the spice, unlike me.
Exactly, you know. You did have a lovely Nando's recently, didn't you? So, lemon herb again.
I did. Actually went medium.
Did you actually? Though.
Yes.
And that's an exclusive in itself. Never mind mine.
I didn't feel it.
You didn't?
I didn't. Hayden. It's when I add the medium sauce, that's where I'm in trouble, big time.
Then you're like, right, that's enough for me now. Yeah, I'm going to go with a medium for 3. Straight in the middle, because that is a medium. I think there's enough to debate there that potentially we might see them do better than what they're stating. But yeah, I don't think they're massively going to impress us. So that's a 3 for me in terms of hot takes.
Sounds good. We've agreed slightly.
We have?
Slightly.
Wow.
This is impressive.
Not on the medium.
Not
sauce,
on the medium,
though,
but that, we will never agree
we'll
on
get
that.
You there eventually. Okay. The next hot take is from 482 Racer.
Mm-hmm.
And they say Leclerc will have a better chance of winning a championship if he left Ferrari.
This,
spicy.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, a lot of people say it because the stress that Ferrari gave Alonso, gave to Sebastian Vettel, and now Leclerc's going for it, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
Leclerc's still keeping his hair for now. How long will it stay? We will have to wait and see.
Hair transplant pending?
Maybe. Hopefully, there is rumour that the Turkish Grand Prix is coming back to the calendar.
Well.
So 2-in-1. You go to Turkey, you get your hair transplant, and then you're ready for the race.
There you go, Sean.
Weight reduction as well, because you have your hair shaven. for that as well. So it'd be perfect just in time for the Turkish Grand
Prix. You've really thought about this one, haven't you?
Yeah. I mean, just in case it happens to me, I'm there at the race. But you've also got to add into that Lewis Hamilton now going to Ferrari. You know, it's going to be a big battle between those two. Who comes out on top between Hamilton and Leclerc? If Hamilton comes out on top, that's Leclerc's chances of winning at Ferrari gone until Hamilton leaves, or Leclerc most likely would then move on and be like, oh, I don't want to be number two here. I want to be the established. I want to be the number one.
Yeah, because I can't even anticipate, like, is Hamilton going to come in and just dominate against Leclerc? Because in Mercedes, him and George Russell were close at times, and George exceeded him also. So it's like, is he going to come in just because he's a more experienced driver? Or is there still going to be that battle because the Ferrari car isn't where they want it to be? But in relation to the hot take, I think 100%.
Yeah.
100%. If he went somewhere else, which I don't know where.
Just Red Bull, really.
Well, that's the only thing. Like, if not Red Bull, there isn't really a chance of him
he's
getting
kind of
a world champion.
Into Formula One at a time at the moment where, you know, he came into it, Mercedes were dominating. The only chance of winning a title was Mercedes, and then you need a Red Bull seat. It's just not really opened up for him. I think Ferrari's a good place to be, to have that potential and have a strong team. And it's built up from the time that he's been there, had that little drop-off in 2020, quite a bit of a drop-off.
Yeah.
But they've built that car back up to be competitive up at the front.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, not quite where Red Bull are.
What
but
if?
Do I see those two?
He goes to Red Bull.
What if he goes to Red Bull?
Imagine.
I mean,
2020, I'm just going to throw out any year, 2027,
2042, Leclerc will be at Red Bull.
To Red Bull.
Red Bull, well, no.
Then, yeah, then he would have a chance.
But up against Hamilton, at the moment, the way I see those two, right, based on the last couple of seasons, Leclerc, I think, would beat Hamilton in qualifying pace. I think Leclerc is one of the best qualifiers that we've got on the grid at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, over the consistency and over a season, I think Hamilton would just about beat it. Because if you look at Sainz versus Leclerc, you look at those two over the season, and Sainz wasn't too far off of Leclerc last season.
Mm-hmm.
And most people would agree that Charles Leclerc is the faster outright pace driver.
Yeah.
So how is Carlos Sainz getting so close to him? And I think Lewis Hamilton is a better driver than Carlos Sainz. So if he has that consistency that Sainz has, but also a closer pace to Leclerc.
Yeah.
At the moment, I could see Hamilton
doing
beating
better
him.
Than Leclerc.
Yeah. But it all depends this season. I'm hoping from Charles Leclerc's point of view that he's learning from those mistakes that he's making and can become that more consistent and a championship winning driver.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so. But I think he's obviously so strong in qualifying because it's a lesser time of racing and more showing off.
As long as he's just doing one lap, he's not crashing.
Then he's great. You know, he's going to secure all the wins. But I think, you know, he can show what he's got in that small time period and he's fast. So that's why he does well. But then when it gets to the actual race, it's because, like, the strategy is just plan A, plan C. What is going on there? It's all over the place. Plus, he always has some sort of mechanical failure when he's on pole. Poor thing.
Especially
so,
Monaco.
Do you know what I mean? So it's not his fault. That's why I'm like,
two things need to happen then. So Leclerc needs to leave Ferrari and Monaco needs to be taken off the calendar.
Oh, no. I'd cry.
Just for Leclerc.
Get rid of his home race, why don't you? See you later to his home
race.
He'd
be like, thank God for that. No more curse on me.
That's what I think. There's too many variables at play when it comes to Leclerc's racing to now justify that Hamilton will do better. So I need to see it in the flesh.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say that's a super, super spicy hot take. I'm going to go right at the top. No points, not like a 4 point or a 3.5.
Okay, straight in at 5.
I'm going right at the top. I think it's spicy.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't sound too convinced.
Yeah, but I think I'm going to take it down to 4 because I'm not fully convinced. But I'm like, yeah, it's spicy. I'm going to go 4. And I agree with it. I think based on right now, as I said, I think Hamilton would beat him based on what we've seen in the last couple of seasons. I think he would have to move away right now.
Look at us agreeing there, Hayden.
What is going on?
I know. That's why I said you're lovely today.
Ah.
It's true, you know.
Okay, keep
you're agreeing
up.
With
keep
me.
Keep up the compliments.
Okay. The next and last overtake is from... This is an iconic name.
Okay.
Don't go Jason Waterfalls.
Oh, yes. What a
says,
name. Let's go.
Great name. Do we give up points to the best name?
Yeah.
Because I would do.
5 points. To
Tsunoda.
Okay.
Will demolish Ricardo.
Oh, okay. Now, that, That is spicy because I know there are a lot of diehard Daniel Ricciardo fans out there that will not take any previous results and will find a lot of excuses. There's a consecrator out there. I'm going to throw him out there. Matt Amos. Every single time we talk about Daniel Ricciardo, he's a huge Ricciardo fan. Mm-hmm. He will find every single excuse. He will spend the time after a race looking into what potentially has happened and what rumours he's heard that happened to Ricciardo's race when he was at McLaren and be like, this is what happened to Ricciardo. We're like, where's your source? Trust me, bro, right? That's what's happened. So I think there's a lot of Ricciardo fans are going to be like, right now, be like, be careful what
if
you
we
say.
We say anything.
That unsub button is ready to be pressed.
What do you think about this one?
I really like Yuki Tsunoda. I really do like
him. You do. You mention that every time we speak. You do kind of back up Tsunoda.
Yeah, I do like Yuki Tsunoda. I think he could do it. I mean, he's had those seasons with Gasly where he was the number two, and obviously he's learning at the AlphaTauri team. And then dominated Nyck de Vries. Just dominated him so much that Nyck de Vries sadly lost his F1 seat. Then he didn't really have the chance to prove himself up against Lawson because there were lots of mechanical issues for him.
Yeah.
And then Ricciardo, I feel like, was quite similar, but I think it actually leaned slightly towards Tsunoda, although Ricciardo got the better result out of the two of them in that Mexican Grand Prix. So, potentially, I mean, it all depends on Ricciardo, really.
Yeah.
If we see the Ricciardo at his best, or we see the Ricciardo that we've sadly seen over the last few seasons, where it's just, there's glimpses of that, you know, that driver that we've seen before, but it's just not consistent enough.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because I just think right now Tsunoda is a little bit more like aggressive in his like driver's craft, and that is going to push him against Ricciardo. Ricciardo can be super aggressive. We've seen that in past seasons, but like you say, he's just not showing his full potential over the last few seasons. So for me, I personally think that Tsunoda is going to demolish him. I used to be like a massive Ricciardo fan. I really did. But I can't back him anymore because I need to see more of that consistency. And that's why I do think Tsunoda will come in. However, I never used to back Tsunoda. Okay. Because obviously when he first came into the F1.
I have influenced you.
Well, potentially.
Yes.
You have it slightly.
We'll work on Lance Stroll next.
No, do you know what? I used to like Lance Stroll as well, but I used to like all of them. But with Tsunoda, he came in and I think he made lots of little mistakes, just little rookie errors, didn't he?
Yeah.
And he was getting branded as being a bit of like, not a diva, but you know, he would, if he had a problem, he would tell you.
Yeah, he was angry.
But he was also making mistakes, and then he was also having mechanical failures, like you say. So I don't think he's been given the chance to show himself too much like he has, but you can all appreciate he's a great driver. But I think this is the season that he's going to show us.
Yeah, it was. I think last season could have potentially been that, but because there was so much mixing about in that second seat that we didn't really get to a proper idea of like what is Yuki Tsunoda up against a
full-time
teammate. And you know, Nyck de Vries was written off so early. It would have been nice to see maybe him up against Liam Lawson. I think Liam Lawson should have had that seat. In all fairness, I don't know whether Ricciardo could have had that seat because there was like contract stuff. Ricciardo, in order to get this big bonus from McLaren, from being dropped and not to do the season, couldn't drive for another team.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why he sat out for the start of the season and then was able to jump in halfway through and be like, well, you know, I've got my bonus money, now you can take me back. Maybe some political stuff in there from his side. But
so you're going to rate this one?
I'm going to... No, it's spicy. I think the Ricciardo fans are going to hate it and they're going to hate us. It's a 5, but I do think that there is a possibility in that for sure. I rate Tsunoda, and I think hopefully over the four seasons, we're going into his fourth season now, that he can find that consistency and put that together with that raw talent that he has and be a strong driver.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to go straight in at a 5 because I think there's real potential here to see those, you know, team battles going on, inter-team battles.
I also think from these two, it's a fight for not the Red Bull seat, but the Aston Martin seat, I think, between these two.
So see you later, Lance Stroll.
No, because Alonso's going to Red Bull. No, listen, Alonso's going to Red Bull.
I had to just say that.
And either
Tsunoda
goes there because of the Honda partnership, or Ricciardo goes there because the Red Bull thing hasn't worked out because they take on Fernando Alonso. So he goes, okay, go Aston Martin.
I think we will see Yuki in Aston Martin. But is that a hot take for another time?
That is a hot take for another time.
I think it is. Yeah, I'm going to stick with 5. I nearly changed my mind last minute. I was like, actually, wait, is it 4?
What is going on today? We have agreed so much.
I know. Hayden, it's been lovely chatting to you today, you know?
It's been a pleasure.
That's the key word. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Let us know your thoughts on the liveries and anything that we've chatted about today and how wrong Hayden is putting that V-carb livery quite low down.
I thought we had a really nice podcast today and you just upset me.
Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.